First couple of songs, I was looking for the darlings behind them. Your darlings over there. Okay, if you don't watch Andy Griffith, you won't get that. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 3. And in conclusion, boy, don't you like to hear a preacher say that? In conclusion, the Apostle Paul is reaching the end of the case. He starts it all in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he proceeds to make the case of why the gospel is needed, why the gospel is necessary. And let's just take a few moments and review that, if we might. I want to do this quickly, so I put some things there on your notes, on your sheets. If you didn't get one of those and would like one, just raise your hand, and they'll give one to you. Brother James is down front down here, and others of our ushers are back there, and we've got some. And thank you so much, usher. You did a great job getting them out to most everybody. We only have just a few here. But have you ever been on traveling somewhere and you just can't get there from here? You ever had someone say that? Sorry, you can't get there from here. You got to go back and around and around and to go back to get there. I had a police officer tell me that one time in Deltona. There was something going on. And I was on a visitation in Deltona, and they had roads blocked off, and I was trying to get to a certain place. And they said, "I'm sorry, you can't go through here." And I said, "Well, okay, then how do I get around?" He said, "Well, you can't. There are no roads to go around this way. You got a body of water to go that way, you know, and you got to go." So I had to go clear out and around, and it went about almost 10 minutes to come back in and get around there to where I needed to go. There are times that there's a sinkhole that may take out the road and ruin a road. At times, a bridge, like a terrible accident that happened years ago in West Virginia, a bridge fell, and cars were on that bridge. Terrible thing. Ruined road. But folks, the truth is, as sinners without Jesus Christ, we are on a ruined road. It will not take us to heaven. And so with this in mind, he reminded us that the wretched heathen are without hope. The wretched heathen are without hope. And he reminds us of that. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Okay, so God, he reveals himself through creation. You go out there and just the magnificent artistry of our faithful Creator, to where the people say, "Wow, this couldn't have just happened." So God tells man in creation that he exists. And then God tells man in his conscience what he expects. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. We spent some time on these verses. "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness." We spent some time on this, reminding ourselves that the heathen still have a sense of fair play. You just look at unregenerate kids playing in the backyard, and they know what's fair and what's not fair, you know. And God gave us a conscience. And so he expects certain things, and he implants that, ingrains that into us, into our intuition, into our conscience. So the wretched heathen are without hope. And then also we saw that the religious hypocrites are without hope. The religious hypocrites are without hope. And we spent some time on that in Romans chapter 2. And how that the religious folks, that they think that they're better. And by the way, that still happens today, doesn't it? People in churches, we fill pews and we put on our duds and we go through our motions, we get our cards punched and all that kind of thing, and somehow we think we're better than other people. And certainly some people think that if they're religious, then certainly that they're okay with God. And that was not the case. God condemns impure lives, and Gentiles curse inconsistent lives. The Bible says in Romans 2:24 and 2:25, the Bible says that for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. The name of God is blasphemed. Folks, any time that someone who is supposed to be a real Christian, any time a spiritual leader, and today the Catholic Church is under attack, and it might be that tomorrow there's a mission agency under attack, a church under attack, a Baptist church under attack, and because someone has fallen and someone has failed and someone has sinned against God and thought it'd be okay and just hide it and cover it up. But be sure our sins will find us out. And so when that comes out, the world blasphemes the name of God. So, you know, this is a terrible thing. Religious hypocrites are without hope because they're without God. They're just going through the motions. They have no heart relationship with God. Okay, I'm hurrying through this. So you've got the wretched heathen that are without hope. The religious hypocrites are without hope. And then we spent some time last time on the rightful Hebrews. The rightful Hebrews are without hope. Without Jesus Christ, they are without hope, by the way. Say, well, they're God's chosen people. By the way, did you know that you are God's chosen people too in a very real way? You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has chosen you. Don't let somebody give Calvinism or in some new package, new label on it called Reformed theology. Don't let someone give that to you, think and try to tell you that somehow, some way, those who are going to be saved are going to be saved whether you do anything or not because of irresistible grace. And those that God has elected go to hell, they're going to go to hell no matter what. That is a damnable heresy. That is a doctrine from the devil, and is not taught in the Word of God. You see, not every Jew in the Old Testament, not every Jew in the Old Testament went to heaven. Let me remind you of the sons of Korah. Remind you where God opened up earth itself. And these were people that traced their lineage back to Abraham. They were children of promise, but they rejected God in their life, and they were swallowed up into the flames of hell, went in alive. So just because someone is born into a good family, be it a Christian family, a Jewish family, or whatever the case may be, if you're in a God-fearing family, and maybe a family that believes and holds to the gospel, that family is not going to get you to heaven. I put down here, a membership card won't get anyone to heaven. Membership card won't get anyone to heaven. Now, it's kind of good to have a membership card. The Israelites, circumcision was like a membership card. It was proof that they were an Israelite. Membership card. I lost my driver's license about a week ago. Don't know where in the world it is. Don't have a clue. I have to pull it out every time I go to the hospital. You know, they want to know, you know, who you are and your background. They put a little thing, and you know, and so I pull it out for that. And I haven't had to pull it out for a police officer in a long time. Thank the Lord. Amen. And there's not a whole lot of other times that I have to pull it out. But I retraced my steps and all that kind of thing. But you know, I couldn't get in Sanford Hospital. They would not let me in Sanford Hospital without an ID. Okay? And so, you know, you have to have that. But listen, that Florida driver's license really does me no good in France. It does me no good in Germany or Italy, okay? And any kind of membership card that we can get will not get us into heaven. Won't get us through the gates of heaven. Doesn't matter if you're an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, missionary-minded, whatever other adjective you want to give to your church. It doesn't really matter. Are you part of God's church through Jesus Christ? Are you born again? a changed heart is the only passport to heaven. Romans 2:29, that he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. A Jew, a chosen person, one of God's family, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit and on the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So if rightful Hebrews have no hope, and religious hypocrites have no hope, and wretched heathen have no hope. By the way, before we begin to think that we're really so much better than a lot of these, finish these words, will you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The wretched heathen, that's where I fit. That's where I fit. I'm a wretch before a holy God. Okay? And I don't believe that I have any Jewish lineage in me. But even if I did, that Jewish lineage would not make me admissible to God the Father in his holiness. Look at, please, verse 19 and 20. Romans 3, verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, now we know. I'm glad that we can know some things. I'm so thankful. 1 John 5:13. The Bible says that we can know that we have eternal life. The Bible says in verse 19, but now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Let's pause there a moment and let's look for a second here. We know that the things soever the law saith. Okay? So let's figure out some things here. What is God's law? What is God's law? It's found in the Old Testament, and the root and the broad brush strokes of God's law is found in Exodus 20. You know what it is, don't you? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Can you think of this, that God gave 10 specific commandments? Only 10. Now there's directives and there's principles and all of that throughout Exodus and Leviticus and all those. There's ceremonial, there's worship directives and his guides, but only 10 commandments that he, by the way, do you remember Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 10? Do you remember that the Bible says that God wrote these with his finger? Moses said with the finger of God on tables of stone. God gave him the tables of stone. Moses didn't cut out the tables of stone. God gave him the tables of stone and he wrote it with his finger. I don't know how that happened. I wasn't there. The Bible says that Moses was there on the mount and 6 days there was a great cloud of smoke around. On the seventh day he went up into the smoke and he was there 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down out of there, he came with a glow on his face and he came with those tables of stone, 10 commandments. And by the way, this world hates those 10 commandments. They hate it. Because you know why? It reminds us that we are sinners. So why did God give the Old Testament law to man? To make man aware. To make man aware that we're a sinner and to seek God's forgiveness. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law, listen, was our schoolmaster. Our schoolmaster. In other words, the law taught us some things about God and about ourselves. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, let me help you here a second. How many of you in the summertime have ever had your air conditioner go out on you? Anybody? Okay, so you can relate to this. All right, it was dead of summer, and my dear, precious, wonderful wife, she has a little bit more of a narrow comfort zone than I have. Okay? And it started getting a little warm in the house. she went over to the thermostat and she pushed it, you know, down a few degrees, and it just kept getting warmer. She said, "Honey, something's wrong with the air conditioner, you know." And me trying to fix an air conditioner is like me trying to fix a car. I'll pop the hood and look at it. Try to act real sharp and intelligent, you know, and things. So we got on the phone and we contacted the company, and they tell us, you know, it's about 4:30 in the afternoon, and they're booked up, and it's summertime, and everybody wants them right now. They said, "We'll try to get out there tomorrow." As I recall, that was on a Friday. They did not get over there until late Saturday evening, I think. And being the good husband that I am, you know, I try to be, I suppose. I'm trying to help, and it's about, you know, approaching 90 degrees in the house. So I go and I take all the ice I can get out of the freezer. And I put it there, and I get me a fan. And I actually put it in some kind of a thing, you know, that I use sometimes for grilling. And I put the ice in there, and then I had it fixed so it would hold up, you know, and then I blew the fan through that at my wife. You know, it's amazing when you do that how fast those ice cubes melt. I had no idea that it would melt that fast. I had a big bucket, you know, down below it, and it was just drip, 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 drip. And you know, it, you remember that, honey? It was okay for a little bit, and she really appreciated it until we ran out of ice. I couldn't do anything about the house. I could do something maybe to help just a little bit at the moment. But as far as the real need, no, it's beyond my grasp, beyond my ability. Folks, now listen, please. Listen. The law is like a thermometer. Okay? A thermometer simply tells you how hot or how cold it is. That's all it tells you. The thermometer cannot help it get cooler. It just continues to get hotter and hotter and hotter, and the thermometer just says 92, 93, 95, 90. It that's all it tells you. That's all the law can do. All the law can do is to tell us how wicked and how sinful we are and remind us how holy God is. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, "For what the law could not do," this is Romans 8, 3, this is a good verse, jot down, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." He dealt with the problem. We got the air conditioning people out there. You know what the problem was? I was so glad it was not the compressor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm so glad it wasn't the inside unit. Thank you, dear Lord. But the problem was, there's this white pipe that comes down from upstairs, and that white pipe drip, 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 drip out the side of the house, right? Okay? And it wasn't drip, drip, dripping. In fact, it was backing up, and upstairs that we had that air conditioner, and it shut it off because I had a little swimming pool going on. Yeah. Got that fixed. And they poured some stuff down in there and got a vacuum and cleaned it all out. And boy, that thing fired up. Woo, boy, we got cool air again. Thank you, Lord. Listen, please, there's a blockage between us and God. It's called sin. And nothing in us will work right as long as that sin's between us and God. And the law tells us there's something wrong. But the law cannot tell us what to do about it to fix it. But it does point us to the one who can, to bring us unto Christ. You know, Isaiah chapter 6. Would you turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 6 as I'm wrapping this up. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah had a vision. It was not an imagination. God pulled back the curtain of eternity and allowed him in a vision to see something that you and I probably will never get to see until we get to heaven in glory. Bible says in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What the law does, it reminds us of the high standard of Almighty God and his holiness, that those, just take those 10 laws, just the 10 laws. And a person would have to live 365 days a year for 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 90 years without breaking one of them one time. And Jesus, he made it even that much more difficult in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And he traced the fruit of the sin to the root of the heart. He said, you talk about thou shalt not kill? Okay. That comes from the feeling of hate and anger in your heart. And God sees that. That the root in the heart yields the fruit for everyone else to see. So in the eyes of God, you're already a murderer. The Bible says back in our text, the last verse there in verse number 20, the end of verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Let me remind you of something. In Revelation chapter 20, we find a scene in heaven that we often refer to as the Great White Throne Judgment. And at the Great White Throne Judgment, the Bible says that every man's work will be judged. And the Bible says that the books were opened. Books, plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And every man was judged out of those things which are written in the books. Now, it's not identified clearly in that passage what the books are, except for the one book as the book of life. It just says, and the books were opened. May I suggest that one of those books clearly is going to be God's law. Clearly will be one of them. That'll be one of the books. The others might be where God records our actions and our motives and all those kind of things. When I say our, I'm talking about mankind. Believers in Jesus Christ, by the way, will not be participants in that judgment. I thank God for that. That's the judgment of the lost. So the Bible says that every mouth will be stopped. And that's true. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So I leave you with this question. Does the Old Testament law have any benefit? Can it help us as New Testament Christians today? This is where we say, you know, okay, what does it mean to me, preacher? How can it help me? I came to church, and all this is good to know, you know, about the heathen, you know, the wretched heathen, and all these kind of things, the religious hypocrites and the rightful Hebrews. But how's it help me? Number one, I believe that as we study God's Old Testament law, I believe that it will prepare us for worship. You see, the first four of God's law are what I kind of think of as the vertical laws. It's about our view of God. the first four. And then the following six are the horizontal laws, our view of others. And by the way, I believe that preparing us for worship, having a heart attitude of surrender, submission to Almighty God, we are His servant. He is not our servant. We don't come to Him with our prayer list and say, okay, God, now I want you to, now I believe it's good to have a prayer list. I believe it's good because sometimes our brain wanders and it kind of helps to have a path. And that's a great thing. But don't treat God with a prayer list like you do when you order something over the phone at Sam's or at Publix and you tell them, this is what I want, 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 and you go pick it up. He's not a clerk at a fast food window. He is the divine creator of all the universe. Now, it's a true statement, and I want you to ponder this. Does God know what's on your list? He does. There have been times, and I'm sure that you would say that you would agree with this. There have been times in our prayer time that God wanted some time with us. And God wanted our adoration and our worship. He wanted our love. He wanted us to feel His love for Him. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, but I need to pray about this and that and the other. I need to ask Him about this. I need Him to step in and move. There have been times that it was late. And God said, hey, your list, I got that. I got that. I enjoyed our time together. Now go ahead and go to sleep. Okay. There have been times that we should agonize in prayer over things like Jesus agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and pled with God about things. There are times to do that. And there are some times that you're just enjoying His presence and being with Him. Prepares us for worship to know who God is. You know, folks, it's amazing. I talked about Moses as he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came down, and sure enough, they had taken gold and they had made themselves a calf, a golden calf, and they were singing and dancing and carrying on and having themselves some time. Going on about worship around this golden calf. It was only 40 days. I mean, the same God that parted the Red Sea. Preparing us for worship, protecting us from wickedness. Thou shalt not. I like that billboard you see on the interstate. What part of thou shalt not do you not understand? When God says thou shalt, He says, come help yourself. When He says thou shalt not, He's meaning don't hurt yourself. And you know, that's Satan. He just twists them backwards. He told Eve, and he hasn't changed. He told Eve, God's holding something good back from you. God knows. If you eat this fruit, you're going to have great power, knowledge of good and evil. He knows that. He doesn't want you to have that. He's holding back something from you. And that one decision plunged the universe into the curse of sin. Prepares us for worship. The Old Testament law protects us from wickedness. And last, the Old Testament law proves our sinfulness. Our view of God, our view of others, and God's view of us. God's view of us. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget how God views us. Yes, He loves us. But listen, folks, we're sinners. We're stinky sheep. We wander. There's nothing good in any of us. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All of this is true. So it's a ruined road. It's a ruined road. But now, next time we get together, we're going to be able to get on the Romans road. As we get on the Romans road, and by the way, that's the road that you and I know best. Because you see, most of us can't say, Father Abraham had many sons. You know, the kids sing that. I sing that song, sure, but I have no genealogy back to Father Abraham. But listen, folks, I have a heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ, and I've been adopted into the family of God. And I don't have to have ancestry.com to trace that one. I have God's holy word to tell me. I'm a child of the King. Now, folks, I know that Romans is a very thick study, but it also is very rich, and it's grounding and it's foundational. And as we get further on, it's going to get a little bit deeper, especially in chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's getting a little deeper. And then come to about chapter 12, it's going to get real practical and real painful because it's going to hit us right between the eyes. And so I do trust that you will dig into it and study God's Word. Heavenly Father, I don't know the hearts of folks in here. I know most everybody personally. And Lord, I've heard their testimony of their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, just because we know the right vocabulary, Lord, I don't for one moment assume that every person in here is going to go in the rapture if it happens in the next 15 seconds. I pray that's the case. I would hope that'd be the case. But Lord, if there's one that does not know you in the forgiveness of sin, Lord, may they come face to face with their own sinfulness, and that the only way to get to heaven is through humbling ourselves in repentance at the cross of Jesus Christ, trusting His shed blood. Lord, I thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for your presence of your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for your indwelling and your filling and your empowerment. Now help us, Lord, to live for you. And Lord, to put you first. Lord, bless on Sunday. Lord, bless in this meeting we're going to go into. And I pray, Lord, you would direct and guide in that. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.